You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
The NBA trade market might not be open, but that's not stopping the Sacramento Kings and, of course, Sacramento Kings fans from looking at other rosters and seeing who's available and who could be a Sacramento King by the start of next season. Well, the Indiana Pacers suddenly have some big rumors coming out of their neck of the woods. Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner wanting out for very different reasons. Today on the Locked On Kings podcast, we're going to be joined by the host of Locked On Pacers, Tony East. He's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on in Indiana, what the value is for both Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner, and we're going to be talking about the interest that Indiana might have in some Kings pieces, particularly Buddy Hield, and if the Kings and Pacers could potentially be interested in making a deal. All on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 6 years, just wrapped up my sixth season covering the Kings both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. And one of the best things about working for the Locked On Podcast Network is the connection that I have with all of the fantastic hosts from around the network that cover each specific team. Well, you turn to me for Locked On Kings content, news, updates, and entertainment. You can also turn to guys like Tony East in Indiana to provide all the information and entertainment that you need when it involves the Indiana Pacers. So I just knew I had to talk to Tony, call him, and invite him on the Locked On Kings podcast to talk about everything that is going on in Indiana. He's going to provide some great context with what is happening there. And I am truly interested to see if Monty McNair and the Sacramento Kings have any interest whatsoever in acquiring either Oladipo or Miles Turner. It sounds like Miles Turner is the more interesting piece out of the two for the Kings to go out and get. A lot of that has to do with his age and the fact that you'd have at least a couple of seasons of contractual control over him versus Victor Oladipo might be the better and well-known player, but is only on the last year, only has one more year on his contract. And would Oladipo come to Sacramento with the likelihood of wanting to re-sign here, or would the Kings just be trading away pieces for basically a one-year rental when they don't have the highest of expectations for next season? We're going to talk with Tony about all of this today. I loved this conversation. I think you will too. Before we get to that though, time to hear from one of our fantastic sponsors. That is Rock Auto. Buying car parts is really difficult. There's way too many makes, way too many models, and now it's really impossible to stock all of the parts that you need in any traditional chain storefront. Instead of enduring the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Obviously, it's all about taking care of your car, but saving money where you can, so you can use it for other important things like your mortgage or your food. Instead of spending 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store, use rockauto.com right now and you'll have complete access to the best deals and a wide range of parts right there at your fingertips. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're all reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing the prices based off of what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and it does not require memberships or account login. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all of the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. It was over a year ago that I had Tony East, one of the hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast, on to talk about one of the newest signings for the Sacramento Kings in free agency, Corey Joseph. Well, Corey was one of the few signings from last offseason that really stuck around and somewhat made it work in Sacramento. Tony provided fantastic information and insight on Corey Joseph, and I'm so excited to have him back on the Locked On Kings podcast today because we're going to be talking about all the chaos that is happening in Indiana with Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner seemingly wanting out. Are the Sacramento Kings going to be able to be involved in either or both of their sweepstakes? We'll talk about it today. Tony, it is a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Hope you are doing well. Hope everything is fine over there in Indiana. I can't wait for next season to begin. I'm sure you're feeling the same way.
Absolutely. And the Pacers just hired their new coach this week, too. So now it's even more exciting because, you know, the intrigue around the team is back at a high level for Pacers fans and media alike. Hearing, you know, their new coach is going to be, new style, new tactics, new communicator, all new. That's always exciting. So it's a good time to be in Indiana and watching the Pacers and seeing what they can do.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's very different, right? Because we're going into a circumstance here where, of course, the season is being completely turned on its head. We're having the draft in November, for Pete's sake, followed by free agency quickly thereafter. We don't have an open trade market, even though the NBA Finals have just ended. We don't know when opening day is going to be for next season. And yet you have teams that we don't even know what the salary cap is going to look like for next year, but we have teams like the Kings who are completely changing their front office. You have what the Chicago Bulls are doing, changing their front office and head coach, and then what the Indiana Pacers are doing, changing their head coach. It's weird. It's a strange balance between, okay, we're looking forward to the future and trying to build a good basketball program again and not knowing what basketball is going to look like in 2021.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. But honestly, I think that the unknown kind of makes it a good time to make changes, if that makes any sense, right? Like normally in a season, the season ends in May and then your draft is pretty soon after. Whereas this time the season ended in August and the draft is 3 months later. So if you're a team making changes, you have way more time than normal to get situated and get prepared for a situation for heading into the next season. The unknown obviously makes it challenging to plan, you know, after free agency's over, such like, stuff like that, and even before the draft. But I think that for a team like the Kings, Pacers, Bulls that you named, I mean, there was a bunch of coaching changes this offseason. And there's a lot, you know, there were justified reasons to do all the coaching changes, but I do wonder if a little bit is like, this is the best time for us to have the smoothest transition ever from old front office to new front office or old coach to new coach, because we have so much time to do the hiring process properly and do this and that. And yeah, I think it's going to work out well for a lot of teams as they transition into a tougher season.
It's the smoothest, most unsmooth transition, considering everything that's going on. No kidding. Some way, changing your front office and changing your entire coaching staff might be the easiest thing to go through with everything in our world right now, which is crazy to think about a year ago. Well, Tony, tell us about what's going on in Indiana. How did we get to this point with Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner, considering how good of a team and how exciting a team the Pacers were last season and the bright future that they seem to have?
Yeah, it's kind of two totally different stories, right? It's not any normal structural thing that made them both sour or anything like that. And we'll get to if that's even the right terminology. But the timeline with Victor is interesting where, you know, he's pretty soured upon by other teams around the league, right? Like in Oklahoma City, he was the backup point guard / starting shooting guard with Russell Westbrook and gets traded in what was called like one of the worst trades in NBA history in the Paul George trade, which turned out to be an awesome trade for the Pacers. But, you know, that first season he was in Indiana, super embraced by the fans, did everything right to seem like the star that, you know, every small market team wants, who's enthusiastic about staying. Following season, same deal, still really good, all-star both years. And then boom, late January 2018, the injury happens. Excuse me, late January 2019, the injury happens. And there was some reporting and some sort of combining of reports and knowledge that I can do to say that, you know, either he had an injury in like December of 2018 too and came back from that. So there's been like enough info out there to say that there was either he rushed back from that too quickly or there was like some misdiagnosing going on after his big injury that made like a small rift between his camp and the Pacers. But that seems to be mostly tied up. I think what's happening now is right, he has his music side to him, right? He's produced multiple albums and he's really connected with a certain other team for a lot of reasons. I won't say the team, but I'm sure it'll get brought up later. But and his first unrestricted free agency is next summer. So all of a sudden, there's so many factors that point to him going, oh, I can still get a bunch of money and live where I want to for the first time since I got into the NBA. So it's a good time for him to be thinking that way. And maybe he doesn't like some direction stuff the Pacers have done. But, you know, for all the reporting of the contrary, that he doesn't want to be in Indiana, Nate Bjorken, the new coach, in his press conference, he says, yeah, Victor texted me right after I got hired. And, is you know, they're enthusiastic about working together. Stuff like that. You know, Victor just, it's hard to read what he actually wants or anything like that. But obviously, with a superstar that may not return with only 1 year left on his deal, the Pacers have to think about moving on from him. With Turner, never any discontent from either side. Got a big extension with the Pacers. Played really well for them. Has always been a pillar in their starting five for the last five seasons. Really, the thing is, he just got overshadowed by a better player in Sabonis. And I mean, the natural progression is, okay, they're starting two centers. Do they really need to be doing this? So most of the trade speculation around him for what will be the fourth summer in a row, basically, is all conjecture. Like, he's not discontent in Indiana or anything like that, but, you know, could the team be better if they moved on from him? A lot of people think that way, including me, but that's not a reason to trade him. It's just if they decide it's the best move. But again, going back to their new coach, in the introductory press conference, he mentioned that, you know, he talked to Turner the day after he joined the team, and he thinks he can make them work together like he did with Gasol and Ibaka in Toronto. So kind of TBD on both guys in their status with the Pacers, but very justifiable and long list of reasons that both could be moved very soon.
So how much, Tony, is in your mind, how much is this the new coach and the Indiana Pacers wanting to try and raise Oladipo and Turner's value by making it sound like they don't want out and they can make things work unless they're right, blown away with an offer? And how much is it, no, we really want to move on from these guys and these guys really want out of here? And it sounds like it's not so much for like what the Sacramento Kings are dealing with Buddy Hield, a negative situation. It sounds more like two guys that are almost looking for a fresh start and a new opportunity.
Yeah, the posturing is always impossible to cut through, right? You've had to deal with this a million times. We do a daily podcast. We have to, as it evolves, figure it out as it goes. But it's different with both guys because, with again, Depot's contract situation throws the biggest wrench into all the reporting around him, because even if he kind of wanted to stay, you have to think about it. As a small market team with a star, you always have to go, well, what if we can't lose this guy for nothing? You know, the Bucks have no indication that Giannis is going to leave. And yet there's so much speculation about a Giannis trade just because it's like, well, they're the Bucks. They can't lose this star for nothing. And then with Turner, yeah, it's all the Sabonis stuff. I mean, it's hard to cut through with Turner because there's been such minimal reporting about him, and no one has, I don't think there's ever been a report that says he like wants out actively or anything like that. Just a lot of like, would it be smart for the Pacers to move on from him now? And the answer is yeah, maybe. So with it's just two totally different things, but yeah, you're totally right that it could just be posturing and things like that, where they're trying to not get their values killed. Although I will say with Oladipo, I'm not sure how his value could be any lower than it already publicly is. So posturing be damned on that one. They're just going to have to figure it out.
In your mind, if you were to put a percentage chance on a move being made, doesn't necessarily mean that both of them are being moved, but that some kind of change is going to happen to where at least one of them, Turner or Oladipo, are not on the team at the start of next season. What would you put the percentage chance on that?
At either one or both being moved, probably like 50-50, honestly. I mean, we did, on Locked On Pacers, we did a whole show ranking the trade value of every player. And what we did is, ranking the like most likely guy to get traded this offseason, basically. And Turner was at the top of me and my co-host list. Mm-hmm. And I had Oladipo second. Adam had him a little lower. But the reason that he's lower for us, though, in the discussion is like they could just wait till the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So it seems like he's less likely to get moved, where Turner is more likely to get moved. But again, because the more likely guy to get moved, and Turner hasn't expressed any discontent publicly or anything like that, you know, the combined odds are probably about 50-50, but individually, I put both of them slightly below 50%.
Yeah, and from a Sacramento Kings perspective, out of the two, even though Oladipo is the better player, it was Miles Turner that garnered the most interest, at least amongst conversation happening here in the California capital. Miles Turner, exciting young player, theoretically could fit nicely in what the Sacramento Kings are trying to do. Who knows if he'd be able to work well with Marvin Bagley or not. That's up to determination. But Victor Oladipo's situation does intrigue me, because you're looking at a guy who's going into the final year of a pretty significant contract, and I imagine no team is going to want to give up significant value for Oladipo unless they feel pretty confident that he is going to re-sign. Are you getting the read that Oladipo is potentially giving a list of teams to the Indiana Pacers saying, I will go and re-sign with these teams? And I imagine if he is, Sacramento's not on that list.
I don't think he'll do that. See, the issue is, I mentioned one team earlier, like every sign in the universe connects Oladipo to the Heat, right? He's really tight with Wade. His college coach with Tom Crean was also Wade's college coach. He's training in Miami literally right now. If you go to Oladipo's Instagram story while you're listening, I bet he posted something training somewhere in Miami. I always post a location too. And again, it'd be a good place for his music career, right? So what he has said publicly on an interview with Fat Joe on Instagram Live, I can't believe I keep having to say those words, his big things will be money and winning, and the Heat can give him both, and the Pacers can give him more money but less winning, and a team like the Knicks, if they, or the Nets, you know, if he goes to a big market, I just say big markets because of his music, I don't even know what the right word is, interests. You know, if he gets traded before his contract's up, they could offer him the money, but not the winning, or, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to find the balance, but so you go to the contract, which is what this question is about, having one more year. I think that expands the trade market a little bit more just because it's an expiring deal. So even if he stinks again, like he did last year, it's not a big deal, but it also suppresses his value in that what you're saying is he could leave in a year. So it almost has, like, for a team like Dallas or Denver, who has eyes on 2021 free agency, they could trade for Depot kind of as an experiment. So that, you know, kind of gives him more trade value to those teams, but less to the Kings, where it's not an experiment or there's a decent chance he resigns, right? So that is definitely a negative if the Kings want to move on move for Oladipo.
From the outside perspective, and please tell me if I'm wrong here, it almost seems like the smart play for Indiana, even though they'd be kind of gambling a little bit, is to not move on from Oladipo right away and see if he can increase his value by the trade deadline to where maybe a team is in a situation where they can make a run and they're one piece away and Oladipo is that piece and they're really willing to take the Kawhi Leonard Toronto Raptors gamble of, even if we only have him for 1 year, if we win a championship, that's more important than losing the guy. I imagine that's the better move with Oladipo. For Miles Turner, though, I wonder how much his value would increase or decrease depending upon how next season went. And kind of a broad question for both guys, what return do you think Indiana is looking for either one of these players? Is it going to take a significant package for Indiana to be willing to move on from them? Or do you think they're more willing to maybe make a move that almost looks like a solid rebuilding move to bring in tradable assets and young players in order to move on from this talent?
I think your assessment of Depot is absolutely right. I said right after the report from The Athletic came out about him wanting to move on, I said they should wait till the deadline. His trade value cannot get worse. If it's the same at the deadline, great, do it then. But to answer the question you're actually asking me, they just signed Brogdon, who is in his mid to upper 20s, whatever 27 is, to a four-year deal. Sabonis, their all-star, is 25. They have him for four more years. TJ Warren, they have for two more years. They have all of their, basically every guy in their rotation they have, except for Oladipo, for multiple years. And none of them are either old or young. They're kind of all in the 20s range. So that indicates to me, and there's no way, like, even if you trade Oladipo and Turner for assets, like, what's the point? You still have Sabonis and Brogdon and all these guys. Like, that teardown is just so ridiculous to me because of the number of years left on those guys' deals that I think any trade is, what they're going to want is like solid contributors around the same age, like good vets, or like a guy in his lower 20s who proves he can be in a rotation, but maybe not hasn't reached his full potential yet, which is a little bit specific. Kind of talk like Caris LeVert, basically, right? Like, Caris has more value than both Depot or Turner, but he's young enough, but still shown good enough that they could go, okay, yeah, that makes sense for us to get a little younger there. But mostly it seems like guys who can contribute to the team they have because they have all their deals and key players locked up for so long.
I have more great conversation with Tony East coming, but before that, want to tell you about a great sponsor of the Locked On Kings podcast. You've heard me talk about them before. That is Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious. You know it. It is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors like cookies and cream, which is my wife's favorite, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, raspberry, peanut butter, banana bread, my favorite, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, and so many more. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. Now, most protein-based products that I have tried, they don't exactly taste as advertised. You taste more protein powder or protein product than you do the flavor profile. That is not the case with Built Bar. Trust me, I am a very picky eater. If it passes my test, it will pass yours. Built Bar, on top of being delicious, is also healthy. It's great for the health-conscious guy or girl. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie and low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber. They're also great for the keto diet. Check this out. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKEDON, that's all one word, LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off of your next order. 20% off by using promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. All right, Tony, now I'm going to need you to turn your attention on the Sacramento Kings roster. Obviously, there's one player that we're not entirely sure if the Kings are likely to trade or not, but he seemingly wants out of Sacramento, and that is Buddy Hield. And every time Buddy opens his mouth, unfortunately, his trade value goes down, and Monty McNair, new Kings general manager, is already in damage control, trying to make it seem like they're not as willing to move on from him. And we've had debates here in Sacramento with whether or not the Kings would be in a better position to actually hold on to Buddy Hield and even re-sign Bogdan Bogdanovic and then see what you have by the trade deadline next season. However, if a good deal is out there right now, I hope that McNair and the Kings are ready to pull the trigger. I'm looking right at Miles Turner and maybe even Victor Oladipo and saying there's a possibility for things to work out here. From the Indiana Pacers' perspective, what's the interest in Buddy Hield, and are there other pieces on this roster, not named De'Aaron Fox, that are enticing to this Pacers program and this organization?
I think Buddy's awesome, really good. Nate McMillan would have made him not a good fit because, you know, not bad. He's still a good player, but Nate McMillan does not encourage threes in the way that would have made Buddy as good as Buddy can be. But new coach, new system. Buddy is a great fit with the Pacers. Even if they keep Oladipo, he can squeeze right in on the wing somewhere. If he's involved, I think he has more trade value than Oladipo personally. I mean, I'm pretty low on Depot's value in general, but if that trade is straight up, I would do that. With Turner, I think Turner's value is trickier. I think that's close, probably. I don't know if you agree with that or not. Straight-up deal, I might need a little bit more from the Kings, which is tough, but I want to hear what you have to say about that.
That's interesting because from my perspective, I'd almost agree with you, but probably for different reasons. I almost agree with you there because I think Indiana would be slightly concerned with Buddy Hield's fastly growing reputation of being kind of a selfish guy. Nobody knows if his best fit is as a starter or as a sixth man, and he clearly doesn't like the sixth man role. He also has a reputation of being a difficult guy to coach, and is that someone that you want to bring in with a brand new young head coach in his first ever job? I understand their concerns there. So I almost agree with you for that reason, that with Miles Turner specifically, you probably are going to want a little bit more attached to Buddy Hield to be willing to take that risk. Not to mention, you're bringing in a guy who's about to start a new four-year contract worth $20-plus million for every year except for the last year, plus incentives attached to that. Whereas Miles Turner, and I'm not totally familiar with the salary cap situation and how the money would even out, but we know Miles Turner is making $17.5 million over the next couple of seasons. So the Kings are getting, I guess, a better financial package back. So again, I don't know how the money works necessarily, but I almost agree with you that the Pacers in a negotiation with the Sacramento Kings involving Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, I think the Pacers have more of the power to say, give us a little bit more.
Yeah, especially with Turner, less so with Oladipo. But I mean, I know we're going to talk about it because he's a great player who's potentially available. But Oladipo to the Kings doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I mean, him and De'Aaron Fox would be like an insane defensive backcourt and so fast. But that's such a risk for a small market team to trade for a one-year potentially rental star. I think that Buddy is really good, would fit well with the Pacers and a new roster. But yeah, I understood that the off-court stuff makes it hard. And he's already, 28? He'll be 28 to start the next season. So he's not really, I mean, he's good enough to me that I can throw the age constraint I gave you out the window. But it's just, it's a kind of a hard to come up with the right machinations, especially with the salary difference, to make it perfect. But I think if there is a Kings Pacers trade to be made this offseason, I think Buddy and Turner are the most likely two players to be involved. I have a crush on a player in the Kings, though. Can I talk about him?
No, absolutely. Please.
Bialica is awesome to me. And I know he's probably the guy that Kings fans would say, yeah, he could be included in trades and stuff, because the Pacers haven't had a four or a stretch four like ever, basically. Mm-hmm. And they've been the thing around the NBA for a hot second now. And I think he's really good and could help them a lot. Now, they wouldn't really have a ton of rotation spot for him if Turner is back, and if Justin Holiday's back especially. But if Turner's in the deal, and then Buddy and Bialica are coming, and then maybe the Pacers send a tiny bit more to make that all come together, now we're talking.
See, it's very interesting you bring him up, because he is one of the two major sweeteners that I think the Kings have that's not a draft pick. It's either Nemanja Bialica, who I think is making around $8 million next year. I'm not entirely sure on that. And then you have Jabari Parker, who is making $6.5 million next year. And I know there's not very much interest for Jabari Parker pretty much anywhere in the league. So Bielitz is interesting.
I will interrupt you here to say that Indianapolis native Kyle Guy, just send him over in the deal. Just include him if you don't mind.
If he gets playing time in Indiana, I'd almost be willing to do that just to see him get an opportunity to play, because it's not really happening here in Sactown. But Bielitz is interesting, because for years, the Kings were also looking for that stretch four. And theoretically, if you're going to play Marvin Bagley at the five, which many believe is his natural position, you're going to want someone like Bielitz on the floor to spread the floor out. So who knows if the Kings are more willing to move on from him. Now, does he want to move on himself because his Serbian partners in Vlade Divac and Peja Stojakovic are now out of the front office? And who knows if Bogdan Bogdanovic is going to be back? So maybe Bielica himself wants out. But that is probably the most tradable asset sweetener that the Sacramento Kings have. So it's interesting. I'm glad you brought him up. So let's get a little crazy here before we wrap things up and throw salary out the window, because we don't know how it's going to mesh up, and we don't have time to plug it into Trade Machine, and even Trade Machine can't count for the changes to the salary cap that's going to be coming here. But what kind of package does it take from Sacramento to get both Miles Turner and Victor Oladipo? Is that even possible?
Oh, man, I just started calculating salaries in my head, even though you told me not to do it.
Hey, go for it. Healed, if you can do it, go for it.
Both Healed and Bialica got to be there for sure.
Of course.
To me. As soon as I say sign and trade Bogdan, though, then you're talking too much from the Kings.
Right.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. And Giles is unrestricted, but they could do a sign and trade there. Let's get him in there, get a little bit more money moving.
His situation is interesting.
They have 11, right? They're not trading 11 in this move, are they? Can we do that? Buddy Bielitsa and 11 and just call it a day?
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. But the only way the Kings would do that is if there's assurances that Oladipo would resign. And again, I don't think that's happening. The Kings would rely on their Sacramento charm to convince Oladipo the same way they were able to convince Chris Webber years ago. And hey, maybe they can pull it off, but that's not exactly the best gamble for McNair.
See, the thing is, the best vet that I feel like the Kings would be like, sure, we'll get rid of him, is Holmes, but the Pacers do not need a center at all. And Bagley's not going to be moved, and no one else is really interesting to me. I think we're kind of at an impasse. And another thing, this is probably not a good time for this, but I am the smallest fan of Harrison Barnes on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think he's very good at basketball. I know he's like good, whatever, he's in the NBA, but comparatively to his reputation, I am just super low on Harrison Barnes, so I don't want him in any sort of deal here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. So it sounds like the best case opportunity for the Sacramento Kings would be, and again, I don't think the salaries work at all. There would have to be another piece added on just to make things work from Indiana's side. But the best case scenario here is either for the Kings to take a gamble and try and offer Buddy Hield and maybe a second rounder or two straight up for Victor Oladipo and pray to God that they can make it work with him here. Or if they're really interested in the Miles Turner sweepstakes, it's going to take a combination of Heald, Bielitsa, and then financially they would have to get something back just to make salaries work.
Yeah, I think it would be like Jeremy Lamb probably. And his, you know, he'll be back next year, but he just had a big injury, so he's probably a negative contract at this point. So maybe the Pacers add a second in there and make that work. But yeah, something like that.
So to wrap things up, though, your interest in Bielitsa and Heald is pretty apparent. What about Indiana's? How well do those two players make Indiana? I mean, because I'm assuming Indiana's goal is to make a deep playoff and maybe even championship run in the Eastern Conference and give both the Heat and the Bucks and even the 76ers a run for their money for that top spot in the East. How much do you think those players and any player from the Sacramento Kings makes that dream more of a reality?
Yeah. They've needed shooting for forever. And the problem with me answering this question is they have a new coach and I don't know how they're going to play.
Right.
But they've needed shooting for forever, right? TJ Warren became a shooter. Other than that, though, they had almost none in their starting five, right? Their next best shooter was Turner at like league average percentage for three attempts a game. Like that's not really a shooter. So they got lucky that Warren could hit, and then they have McDermott and Justin Holiday off the bench, but Justin Holiday as a free agent, he might not come back. So the shooting appeal for those two makes me think they'd be a great fit just because in the modern NBA, you can never have enough of it, but B, the Pacers really need more of it, and getting more space for, you know, Sabonis to do his thing from the elbow, or Brogdon to be able to drive, or Warren to be able to be the best scorer in the NBA. Kidding, but still. Is got to be super appealing to this team, especially as they transition from one Nate to the next.
Well, Mr. Tony East, it's always a pleasure having you on, and I always have a good time when I'm able to chat with you, whether it's on the air or off the air. I appreciate you taking the time. Keep up the fantastic work with Locked On Pacers, and if the Kings and Pacers end up being involved in some kind of deal, we'll have to get together again, and we'll both break whatever trade happens down and analyze and decide who won and who lost. But I will forever say the Atlanta Hawks and the Indiana Pacers are the two teams in the Eastern Conference that I watch as close as I do and I care the most about, so I'm really excited to see what the Pacers do next season.
All right. Well, keep an eye on them, and hopefully the Kings can reach the Pacers level in a coming season, because they have Yogi Ferrell, who went to my college and is possibly my favorite college basketball player ever. So I'm rooting for the Kings for forever.
Right on, man. Tony, thank you so much for taking the time, buddy. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it, Matt.
What do you think about the conversation that I just had with Tony East? Your interest in the Kings acquiring Victor Oladipo or Miles Turner, or maybe even both? From Oladipo's perspective, do you think he'd be willing to re-sign with Sacramento, and is that a worthy gamble for the Sacramento Kings to take? It would cost them Buddy Hield and probably another piece. Sounds like there is interest in Nemanja Bjelica as well. Would you like to see the Kings and Pacers try and work out some kind of trade? Let me know on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK is how you can reach me there. You can also email me at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That will do it for another episode here of the Locked On Kings podcast. Can't wait to have you back with me for the next one. I have another fantastic guest, a familiar voice not only on this podcast, but inside the Golden One Center will be joining me. I'll leave that tease for you so you can try and guess who. But until next time, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.